Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Just before we went to break, Oilers Game Day Trivia for Pro-Am Sports. Up for grabs a $50 GC from Pro-Am Sports, fan cave and fan gear specialist for all budgets. ProAmSports.ca. The question, where did Sharks general manager Mike Greer go to school? Brendan, the answer?
That was Boston University. He was a Terrier, not an Eagle, as many thought he went to Boston College.
There you go. Oilers Now is brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation. Guests on the show receive gift cards to Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite teppanyaki steak restaurant. Come in and check out their new location, 3975 Calgary Trail, as we go off to the River Cree Resort Casino hotline at 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort Casino excitement. Bet on it. Our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky, the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. He's in his second tour of duty with San Jose. Spent some time on NHL Hockey and Rogers Sportsnet broadcasts in Edmonton and also with Hockey Night in Canada. We welcome back to the show, Drew Remenda. How you doing, Drew?
Good, Bob, but actually it's my fourth tour of duty with the San Jose Sharks, as a matter of fact.
It's your fourth.
So right off the bat. My fourth.
Really?
Right off the bat, assistant coach. Yep. Assistant coach in our first years.
Yep.
Of course, got fired from Kansas City, our farm team, and then came back as a radio broadcaster. Stayed for a while, went to TV, then went to Hockey Night in Canada, came back the next year. Told me to leave in 2014, brought me back last year. So, yeah, this is my fourth tour of duty with the San Jose. I'm a bad rash. Can't get rid of me.
Well, you know, it's
a rash or bad thing.
You know, and I've told you this before, like you and Randy together for a number of years for me were a top three tandem in the National Hockey League. So now that I've kissed your butt, away we go from there. You guys did a real good job. And the Sharks had a lot of things, you know, for 15 years, they had the best record in the National Hockey League. They just couldn't win the Stanley Cup. But there was a lot of things they did really, and now they're at a different place and a different time. And I'm just wondering, you know, give me, as a guy who's, you know, around the team on a day-to-day basis and traveling and those sort of things, what's your assessment on what they're going through right now in San Jose?
Well, nobody wants to use the R word anywhere in any team, it seems, nowadays. But when you look at the San Jose Sharks, excuse me, and that success, without winning the Stanley Cup, came at a price. And the Oilers fans know that as well, because you have to make some deals that are, you're going to extend some guys, you're going to probably keep your guys on your team longer than you want, probably have to overpay them a little bit too. And that's what the Sharks did to get as good as they were for such a long period of time. But all the good things must come to an end. You look at the Colorado Avalanche, you look at the Dallas Stars, you look at the Edmonton Oilers, you look at all the good teams, they have to have their little fall-off before they can get back and continue that window of success. I don't believe in much more windows of success. I think you build a good team and try to keep it for as long as you can. So the Sharks right now are faced with a situation. As you can see, there's some contracts there that they've got where they've their guys are older, they're expensive, and that's kind of saddled the San Jose Sharks from adding to the team and making it a real deep hockey team. So Mike Greer has come in after Doug Wilson retired last year because of health reasons. Mike Greer has come in, and he's come in with a plan, and that plan is to build this team back up again. Now, you don't have anybody in the pipeline from the 2018, 2019, and one guy from the 2020 draft. So that's the first thing they're looking at. If they get a draft in this next year where they can get three or four good players that end up in the San Jose Sharks organization, end up playing for the San Jose Sharks, they will be on the right step in the right direction. You've seen it. You went through it with the Edmonton Oilers. You've seen how you have to build it up. Basically, that's what the San Jose Sharks want. Now, can you get Nail Yakov? Can you get, sorry, I'm going to say Nail Yakubov. Yes, I love Nail Yakubov. But can you get Connor McDavid? Can you get Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? Can you get Leon Draisaitl? Probably not, because those guys are tremendously talented, once-in-a-lifetime generation type guys. But if you're able to build on these, get some solid guys into your pipeline where you can build up your team and give them somebody to play with, that's basically what Mike's trying to do. He's trying to get them back to the level of success that they had.
Yeah.
That's basically what he's trying to do. And it's tough. You know it's tough.
50 weeks a year, tough. 18, 19, and 20. I mean, they took Merkley 21st. in 2018.
Never really
panned out. Didn't have a first rounder in 2019. Took Weisblatt 31st in 2020. Yep. Thomas Bortolo is a second rounder who I think they don't mind. They think he might have a chance.
Yeah, we like him. Yeah, they like him.
He might be a player. You know, and Drew, I mean, you know I would run the numbers on this because we would talk about this all the time back in the day.
Yep.
But once you get past about 21 in the draft, once it's like 21 overall, it ain't easy. What would it mean to San Jose to get a player of the ilk of right now? The Sharks have a 13.5% chance of getting the number one pick, which undoubtedly would be Connor Bedard. But even if they got Adam Fantilli from Michigan, who's having a wonderful season, those could be important steps. You've got one of the wealthiest owners. He might be. Well, I guess David Thompson.
Second.
Yeah, the guy in Winnipeg.
Yeah, second in the league.
Yeah, second wealthiest owner in the league. It's Hazel Plattner, right? Isn't that the owner?
Right, yeah, Mr. Plattner, yeah.
Yeah, so tell me this. I mean, how the fans handle it in terms of what's gone on? Because they had all that success for all the years. And is there any concern about a tunage factor in the market, or do you think they'll be fine there?
No, I mean, it has. It's been a concern. If you've watched some of our games, and I know you have, you've seen a lot of empty seats, and we never used to have that. Players come in and teams come in, and things have changed. Yeah, it has, because as we know, in the United States, especially when you have a market where you have the Golden State Warriors, where you have the Niners, where you have the A's, the Giants, Cal, Stanford, all those teams that put a strain on your entertainment dollar, that it's been difficult for the Sharks. But Hassel Plattner has been wonderful. Jonathan Becker is our president. He has told Jonathan Becker, I'm in this for the long haul. I know that COVID took a big chunk out of us, and the way things are, it took a big chunk out of us, but we are in for the long haul. That's what he has told Mike and Jonathan Becker. And he is he's a big supporter of Sharks hockey in the Bay Area. They've really grown the game in the Bay Area, Bob. You should see the new building that the Barracuda play in, the Tech CU building. That practice facility has gone from one rink to two rinks to six rinks now, plus a 5,400 seat facility, which is first class for an AHL team. So Hasso's invested, and he wants this team to get back to where they were. Overall, the one thing when you talk about Bedard or Fantilli or what can you get, they need somebody in the next two, three drafts to come in that you can build around. Now, listen, you're not going to get a Connor. You're not going to get a Connor McDavid. If you got a Connor Bedard, people would come out and come see him. I mean, it's interesting that the fans are still there. The hardcore fans are still there, but it hasn't been like the heady old days when Joe Thornton, Joe Pavelski, Brent Burns, Danny Boyle, Evgeny Nabokov, and those guys were winning 50, 60 games a year.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, Connor Bedard this year, I don't have to tell you this. You still doing radio in Saskatoon, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We talk a lot about Chris Jones and the Eskimos. You know, it's Ryderville, baby.
Yeah. I do a show in Regina once a week as well. So, I know it's Ryderville. A lot of owner interest in San Jose as well. Drew Herman.
Hey, Bob, I got to tell you this. I got guys that work at Ralco where I work for CKOM, CJME. When they talk Oilers, they use we all the time.
You know, I try not.
One of my bosses uses we all the time.
I try not to do that on this show. That's called Oilers Now. And I actually work for them directly. Drew Remenda joining us, longtime Sharks broadcaster in his fourth tour duty in the organization. Mike Greer, give me your assessment. We'll recap the trade here. The San Jose Sharks did the Timo Meier deal, so they got a conditional first-round pick, which is top two overall protected. That's obviously New Jersey's going to make the playoffs, not an issue. A conditional 2024 first-round selection is if New Jersey makes it to a 2023 conference final or 2024 conference final. That's a big condition because that may not happen. A draft pick. How do we... Shakir Makamadulin? Is that how you...
Mac Madulin.
And then they ended up getting Janssen back, and they had to eat a little bit of money. Yeah. What was your assessment in terms of what they did there?
Well, I'm not like you, where I don't know every prospect and every draft, et cetera. But talking to Craig Button, who I have a lot of respect for and knows players inside out, he said that Makhmadoulin was one of the top prospects. He actually said he's probably the number one prospect to not be playing in the NHL right now. 6'3", 215 pounds, young guy, moves the puck really well, big D-man. They brought him over to North America a couple days ago. I think it was Saturday. I think he's going to be with the Barracuda for a little bit. They're depending. They think Makhmadoulin was a big get. Apparently, that was what was holding up the trade with Timo Meier, because Mike Greer was adamant that Makhmadoulin was the guy they wanted. And again, you know this because you build from the goaltender out, and you need a good defenseman in this game. You need really good defensemen who know how to check and know how to move the puck quickly and be physical. And apparently he is. We'll see. We get to see him a couple times with the Barracuda. They're going to be trying to make the playoffs. So when we get back, we'll be able to catch a few games of the Cuda and see if they can get there, and be interesting to see him. But the other aspect of that, you know, they're saying, why did you trade him? Well, you know, because it was money. His qualifying offer had to be $10 million, and the Sharks would have had to really gut a lot of the team that Mike built up over the summer in order to keep Timo Meier. The Sharks are going to miss him for sure, but there wasn't much they could do because of the budget and because of the cap.
Drew, what do you think is going to happen with Erik Karlsson here?
That's a great question, Bob, and that's been the $14 million question all year long. You know, he has been tremendous offensively this year. Some of the things he's done has been, you know, you're associating with names like Paul Coffey and Bobby Orr,
yeah,
and Ray Bourque. He's been amazing that way offensively. He'd be a great poker player, because he's kept things really close to the vest. It was interesting this year when David Quinn got the job, one of the first visits he made was to Erik Karlsson, and he told Erik Karlsson, I want to do two things, Eric, this first year. One, I want to make the playoffs, and two, I want to get you back to Norris Trophy level. I want to get you back. You're only 32. I want to get you back to that level where you're one of the best in the league. Now, he's accomplished one of those two things. Obviously, the record speaks for itself as far as wins and losses, but Eric has been asked a lot. He's been asked to be a leader. He's been asked to be upbeat and positive. Last few years have been really tough for Eric. Physically, the game took a toll on him. He had some personal things going on. But he is smiling all the time. He's upbeat. He's leading this team. He's been a guy who, honestly, has been a pleasure to be around. I can't say, last year I did about 50 games with the Sharks, and he wasn't, not that he was, you didn't like being around him, but he was just very to himself, very standoffish and introverted. But this year he's been wonderful, and it's showed on the ice. What he will do, I think, is apparently nobody came to him and asked him about moving. That was the one thing I raised about the trade. Nobody came to him and asked, will you move? I think he'd be open to it if the Sharks were able to do it, because of the simple fact of he doesn't have many years left on his in his NHL life. And everybody, as you know, everybody wants to be a winner, and he can help a team win. We'd hate to lose him because he is that one star that the Sharks have right now. But I think he would probably be open to moving to the right team, because it would give him a chance to go out a winner as a Stanley Cup champion.
Well, for the Oilers, the right player added has been Mattias Ekholm, Edmonton 7-2.
Oh, absolutely.
Since he's been in, we're joined by Drew Remenda, longtime Sharks broadcaster. Drew, you obviously had history with Todd McLellan and Jay Woodcroft in San Jose, and in Edmonton. L.A., they're just on fire right now. And, I mean, Todd took the Oilers to 7 games last year, and he didn't have Doughty and he didn't have Arvidsson. And now he's got those two guys, Fiala, and, oh, by the way, Jonas Korpisalo, who's stoned the Oilers twice in games that they combined for 97 shots on goal. And Jay Woodcroft, all Jay's done is Edmonton's got the best record in the Western Conference since Jay took over February 10th last year. They got the West points percentage in the West since that's occurred. Are you surprised at what Todd's been able to do as quick as it's happened in L.A.? And conversely, are you surprised in Jay's success as an NHL head coach?
No, not you. You know me. I've always been a champion of Jay and Todd. I've known them both for a very long time. With Todd, I think this is the best coaching job he's ever done in the National Hockey League. And that's saying something, considering what he did for the San Jose Sharks and what he did for the Oilers. But this is the best coaching I've seen him do. And he's got a great staff there and a good friend of ours as well. You mean Trent Yoni. I love Trent to death. Jay Woodcroft has been building for this and building for this and building for this for a long, long time. He has worked his way up into where he is. Nothing has been given to Jay. He's earned it. He has been Todd's right-hand man since Todd took the job in San Jose in the 2007 season, I think it was, after winning the championship in Detroit. What I love about Jay, he's a close friend, and people will blame me to being, star-crossed when it comes to coaches, because I love, as you know, I have big respect for them. But Jay believes in the potential of people. Jay believes in, if you do things the right way and you put yourself in a position to win, then everything else is gravy. He is a guy that has helped me professionally, has helped me personally. He's a guy that I know is one of the hardest working. Todd used to call him his right-hand man. He was my right-hand man. Without Jay, I couldn't do anything. And Jay handled everything from scouting and putting together schedules for the other coaches to making sure the guys on the ice and Joe Pavelski and Patty Marlowe and Joe Thornton were able to get the extra work in. They started Jay's shooting club in San Jose. Jay, the assistant coach, bring out Joe Pavelski and Patty Marlowe. Just that started a little club. It started a practice where they'd all come out early and work on things. Jay is smart, he's hardworking, he's insightful, and he believes in the potential of people and his athletes. It doesn't surprise me that the Oilers are they the best team since January, or one of the best teams in the league since January? And I saw all the things when the Oilers were going through a little bit of a downtime, and all the usual stuff we see online about the coach or the general manager and blah, blah, blah. You and I have seen it dozens of times. But I knew, 100% knew, that Jay would get this course corrected and get this team going in the right direction. I'm lauding him, and I'm sounding sycophantic, but you know me, I believe in that guy, and I love that guy.
Well, ironically enough, since December the 27th, so since Christmas, the LA Kings have the best winning percentage in the Western Conference at .697. The Oilers are second at .686. And since Jay took over last year, which was February 10th, Jay's gone 65-32-11, which is a .653. 653 overall record, which is first in the Western Conference. So there you go. I mean, the Oilers have been a good team since he's coached them, and that's not a surprise to either one of us. Drew, thank you for your time. I'll let you get back to being a grandpa, okay?
Yeah, it's been great. They live here. I haven't seen them in 6 months, so I get to be Papa for a while today.
All right, have at her. Thank you for fitness in. Okay, Drew, you bet.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right,
you bet. That is Drew Remenda. It is 1:23 in Edmonton. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now. This is Oilers Now. And we're going to go to the Oilers Now Injury Report, brought to you all season long by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, he'd be a little bit disappointed, would have hoped for a better result for the Alberta Golden Bears. But, hey, as a best football player the UVA had over his last 40 years, still cares. James H. Brown, big supporters of the Edmonton Oilers, the Edmonton Elks, and the U of A. We will tell you this, that Ryan McLeod is closing in on a potential return to practice. He's got an upper body issue for the Edmonton Oilers. Ryan Murray remains out with a back issue. Dylan Holloway is skating in Edmonton. He is technically with the Bakersfield Condors. Luke Cunnan out with a knee injury for San Jose. Gadjevich has a upper body issue, and they got a couple other players, including Svechnikov, not available as well. They recalled Andrew Agostino. He's going to play instead of William Eklund tonight for San Jose. You can start your new vehicle journey at Brentridge Ford, the dealer that doesn't forget about you after you purchase a vehicle. If you value fair treatment, full transparency, call Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the team at 780-3522. 7805-6048. That number again, 7805-6048. 12-time President's Diamond Club Award winners for customer satisfaction. Brett Rich Ford is your Ford Truck Authority on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. Cars cost less in Wetaskiwin. College Hawk is coming up, the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors, but not before we go off to a Global News weather traffic update with Randy Kilber.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.